Hey guys, I'm Bree, and welcome to the Warm Blanket Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Warm Blanket Podcast, where we embark on a journey to see what makes us feel good about Star Trek, where our love comes from, and what it means for us. In short, what is our warm blanket? My name is Gary, I'm your host, and I'm very honored to welcome here a special guest today, Bree, amazing cosplayer and voice actor, better known from the widely popular Trek Central YouTube channel, where you can find her creating amazing podcasts featuring great topics and amazing guests. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a very warm welcome to Bree. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. Just woke up, so...
Oh yeah,
keep... Well, ish. I slept in very late today.
Well, that's something that I always forget when I'm doing this podcast, that sometimes there's a time difference between myself and whoever I'm interviewing at the moment. And we have like 7 hours difference at the moment?
I think it's 6 hours. Six. I woke up around like noon today because I was up really late, but it's like 2-something here.
To 2-something there, it's about 8 yeah. something here in the evening, just to give some depth and to the audience as well who's listening. So it's a bit of a timey-wimey journey what we're doing here. So you do multiple things. In your personal side, and of course in Star Trek side as well, and you are a fantastic cosplayer. I might add.
Thank you.
Seen quite a few of them, and I think one of your was a Star. Well, I think you did multiple Star Trek films, but definitely yeah. one of them was a Vulcan officer. Mm-hmm. So, what's the inspiration, and how do you decide to become a cosplayer, or what inspired you to become a cosplayer?
This is the perfect story for this podcast, because I wouldn't be a cosplayer if it wasn't for Star Trek. My very first cosplay was actually a store-bought original series red shirt cosplay, and I bought it so I could go to a convention in Reno, Nevada, mm-hmm. Where they were having some Star Trek guest stars. I think it was William Shatner and Walter... I can never pronounce his last name.
Neither do I. I just
that
say
one.
Coney
yeah,
or Keeney.
Yeah, Keeney. I say it 1,000 different ways, but they had a few Star Trek guests, mm-hmm. so... and I'd never been to a convention of any kind before, let alone cosplayed. Mm-hmm. So I went and bought just a regular costume, like red shirt costume. It wasn't even accurate. And I went to a convention. I was like, wow, this is a lot of fun. I had a lot of people compliment it, even though I didn't feel like, it was anything special. Because again, like most people when they first start cosplaying, they're a little bit insecure about it. Mm. At least I was. But after I did that, I was like, that was so much fun. I should really do this more. Mm-hmm. So I think my next big cosplay was also a Star Trek cosplay. It was a Orion slave girl, and one of my friends went as an Orion slave trader.
Oh,
and it was a lot of fun. That was a lot of work. I think I made the cosplay like 48 hours before the convention actually mm-hmm. was. So I'm like this. I'm terrible about making cosplays in an even like a good amount of time. I always wait till it's the last second. And that was also my first time doing body paint, mm-hmm. so I have improved a lot since that day, but I really wouldn't be a cosplayer if I hadn't been a Star Trek fan first.
That must have been quite a challenge to get, because the Orions are like all green, like...
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine how careful you had to be, like, to not stick any paint into anything.
Yeah, I've made the decision I'll probably never do that cosplay again unless I go to, like, Star Trek Las Vegas, just because of the sheer amount of effort that goes into it. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, they don't wear much clothing. So when I say I am, like, 90% paint, I am 90% paint. It is impossible to do it alone. I have to mm-hmm. have a friend help me. And, of course, now that I have the correct... I know what body paint to use now. Mm-hmm. I think when I first did it, I used a... It was like an already liquid body paint, and I've now learned that that is a terrible decision. Oh. And you should always use mm-hmm. water activated, so that you add water as you need it, and then it dries much better and smoother. So I've mm-hmm. made that decision to never go back to that. And if I do that cosplay again, it's only going to be for like a very large event, like San Diego Comic-Con mm-hmm. or Star Trek Las Vegas or something like that. The only exception to that rule is I was thinking about doing a... Ensign Tendi cosplay Lower Decks, because mm. it would only require my hands and face be painted, which is a heck of a lot more convenient.
Yeah, I can imagine that. It can be quite challenging. It does make me wonder, though. Is there any Star Trek race or anything that you would like to add to your repertoire?
Absolutely. I've been wanting to cosplay an Andorian for so long, I can't even think about, like, you know, a time. I think it was probably... I would say even all the way back, because the first Star Trek I ever watched was the original series, and they show up on an episode there, and I'm like, that's a really cool, you know, alien design. It's very, at least in comparison to the other aliens that are in the original series, it actually, you know, was noticeable. I was like, okay, wow, that's, you know, something people would actually recognize. And then as I kept watching Star Trek, and I saw that they showed up more, I'm like, okay, I really, really want to do an Andorian cosplay. In fact, I have a Star Trek Online character that's an Andorian. I just really like their character design a lot.
Is there any, like, have you tried these prosthetics as well? Like, you know, like putting up a Ferengi ear or some Klingon foreheads or even a Bajoran nose?
I actually have a Kira Nerys's earring because I was planning on doing a Kira cosplay while my hair is still short. However, I don't have any idea how to start prosthetics. There's a place in town that caters to cosplayers and theater nerds like myself who they give lessons for prosthetics and stuff like that. So I'm considering going to maybe one of those prosthetic classes and learning the ins and outs. Just, I mean, the Bajoran nose is very easy to do. So just, I'm pretty sure all I would really need would be sculpting clay and learn how to actually correctly get it to stay. But that's definitely the first thing I'm going to do when it comes to prosthetics, so that I can get a feel for what it's like to work with prosthetics before I take the step to, you know, doing something like a whole Klingon cosplay or something like that. The thing with the Andorians is I could probably get away with doing a headband built into the wig, which is what I've done for other characters, but I also really want to make them, you know, animatronic in some way too, because I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I did see some footages when they did the... I think it was in the Enterprise era, of course, when they started playing around with the Andorians and a bit more realistically. And I think they did have some like remote controls or something that they've been using for the Andorians, just to give that sinister antenna movements in there.
I'd have to buy a Raspberry Pi and, like, figure out how to actually code to do the correct movement. So I'd have to, you know, bring in some friends for that one. I have no idea how to code.
Or just, like, have it in every randomly, just, you know, every 5 minutes,
yeah,
something.
Yeah, just shake my head a few times.
What's going up there? So, yeah, I can totally see and feel that, you know, Star Trek has been there for a long time. It does feel like that way. So I wonder how... did you get into Star Trek, or when did you get into Star Trek? What was your first influential moment that you embraced?
Buckle up, viewers, you're in for an emotional ride.
Oh my.
So I actually had my dad was a big Star Trek fan, and I had never seen Star Trek ever, and like not even a clip or piece of it my whole life. And when I was 18, when I joined the military, when I was in A school, I got a phone call that my dad had committed suicide. And so it was just, obviously that's a really traumatic like moment in someone's life. So in the coming months, I was starting to like, you know, how can I feel closer to my dad now that he's not here? Like, how can I, you know, feel connected to some way? And I was like, yeah, he was a huge Star Trek fan. Let me give this show a shot. So I started with the original series, then went to Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise, and then went back and watched them like 1,000 times more. It honestly started as a way for me to feel closer to my dad, because it was something he actually really liked. And as I started watching it, I was like, okay, I love this show. And of course, there's so many moments in Star Trek that, especially when you've been through traumatic events, hit close to home. I remember specifically the two episodes that hit me the hardest when I was watching the first time through after losing my dad. One was the Miles O'Brien episode, what is it called? Where he serves fake jail time for, like, it's a few hours, but to him it felt like 20 years.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I don't know the episode
title
either.
Yeah, but so towards the end of the episode, you know, he's like so close to taking his own life, and that episode hit hard because I was like, you know, I mean, it hits close. So he didn't have anyone there to stop him. Like, there was no Julian there, and so that one hit hard. And the other one that hit hard when I was watching the first time through was when... oh, man, what's his name? Why can't I think of it? Oh, man. Enterprise. I'm so bad with Enterprise names sometimes, but... shoot. Mayweather, thank you. Oh my gosh, I don't know why it took me so long to figure that out. Yeah, when Mayweather found out that his dad had passed away, mm-hmm. and he took that really badly, like, his reaction to that was very similar to my reaction, where he just kind of separated himself from everyone, really sad, didn't really want to talk to anyone, not, you know, and not so, you know, heart. It wasn't a heartbreaking episode, it was just an episode where, if you've been through losing a parent, you know what that feels like, mm-hmm. And, you know, him going back and talking to his family and friends and them all, you know, being like, you know, why weren't you here, this and that, and they not realizing that by saying that it can be taken, you know, as, you know, why weren't you here kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So both those episodes when watching really were probably the nail in the coffin for, okay, Trek is just amazing. Like, it tells so many stories for so many people, and anyone who's been through, and it doesn't just have to be a suicide, like, anyone who's been through any kind of event, you can find a story in Star Trek that's for you. You know, PTSD, there's a story for you. Sexual assault, there's a story for you. Are you LGBTQ? There's a story for you. And I really like that about Star Trek, that you can always find something to relate to in the series. And I don't know. It's just, it really drew me in, and mm-hmm. I just became addicted to it. I just couldn't stop watching. I've seen every series maybe like 3 or 4 times now.
Wow. Well, I hope, and I really hope that, you know, the question, even though it's very good to know that, you know, Star Trek comforted you for so long, but I hope it didn't bring back any negative emotions. I'm feeling a bit... under the weather now.
Yeah.
After that, I'm
so,
sorry. No. This is something I even though I done a fair amount of talk to other people, and this is something that even though for me it's hard to cope, and I mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Honestly, I'm really sorry to that you had to go through this, and I'm glad that Star Trek was there. Gosh, okay.
I'm sorry. Now no. I feel terrible.
No. Don't. Honestly, yeah. It's fine. It's all part of the experience. And I'm glad that you opened up and shared this with me and my audience as well. And so obviously in this situation, in this case, I don't even have to ask how, because that normally follows a question. How did Star Trek influence your life? But I can feel that and I see that now, that it has an enormous part in your life, and that's never gonna go away.
And the good thing is, you know, even though I did, you know, gravitate towards Star Trek for a somewhat, you know, sad reason, the more I watched it, the more it gave me hope, you know. Because, mm-hmm. again, I've also suffered from depression, and I've had really negative thoughts. And going and watching Star Trek and seeing that, you know, these are stories that a lot of people can relate to. It's not just you. It's not just, you know, another it's something that hits home to a lot of people. And there's also a lot of really positive episodes. That's the thing, is, you know, for every sad episode that hits really close to home, there's 20 or 30 episodes that are just really good, fun sci-fi romps.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's obviously, you know, those episodes stick out in my mind because mm-hmm. they are, you know, relatable, but I can also, you know, all the fun ones stick out in my mind too. It's just one of those, it's a balance, and that's mm-hmm. what I like about Star Trek.
Yeah.
Is it's got its sad moments and it's got its really happy moments. And so, you know, if you want to feel emotional, you go watch something like The Visitor or Far Beyond the Stars or something like that. If you want to have fun, you know, watch, oh, geez.
The Magnificent Ferengi, or...
yeah, or the Voyager episode where they break warp, where they break the Warp 10 barrier. What
Threshold?
Threshold, thank you. Like, you know, where you really just want to laugh. You can just go and watch these absolutely wild episodes.
You know, now that you mentioned Threshold, I kind of thinking if they originally meant Threshold. Or... no. Okay, but I'm joking. But so it does make me feel... that make me feel the need to ask the question, because that obviously for many people has a many different answer for this question. But what is the one series that would you say that's closer to your heart? And
so, okay, this is very funny because the very first time I watched it, I thought it was probably my least favorite. Only because as I started, I started with the original series, and that was my like baseline. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, can't be Star Trek. And then I watched Next Generation, and I was like, okay, very different, but I like it. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Deep Space Nine, and I was like, this is nothing like Star Trek. What is this? Mm-hmm. And I made it like a season in, and I was talking to some people that watched Star Trek, and they were like, yeah, no, you should really keep up with it. I think you're going to change your mind. And I kept watching it, and I was like, okay, I really like this. And I finished it, and I liked it. I wouldn't have called it my favorite at the time. Mm-hmm. But after watching every other Star Trek series and then going back and watching all of them again, Deep Space Nine is the one I not only like the most, but come back to the most. Mm-hmm. It has the best story to me. It has the most emotional episodes. There's some of the best characters. There's character arcs. The acting is phenomenal. I can't say anything negative about Deep Space Nine, genuinely. It is, to me, peak Star Trek. Mm-hmm. So that is always going to be my go-to for, you know, perfect Star Trek for me is Deep Space Nine. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I mean, no, and obviously there's no wrong or no wrong or right answer with this, because everyone loves Star Trek for different reasons. And
exactly.
For me, even though I love all of the shows, my favorite that's closer to my heart than the other ones is Voyager, definitely, because it helped me from the very beginning, and it was there for me when I really needed the most. And all of Star Trek, but Voyager was Voyager was the one series that I hold daily more than the others, even though I love all of them equally. And I'm just just mumbling now. Come on, get yourself together, Gary.
I'm sorry. I threw you off with my sad story.
No, it's fine. I'll get back to myself. I'm like a Reginald Barkley. If I have to choose my spirit animal, I would be Reginald Barkley, because I can be awkward sometimes, even though I'm I'm evolving as well. But I can be awkward sometimes. There's definitely a Reg in me. So.
I think everyone has a little bit of Reg. He's also one of the characters I found myself relating to the most. I couldn't pinpoint why, but when I was in the military, I think honestly for me it was that when I was in the military, I also struggled with not like showing up on time, but just like being there, mm-hmm. not, you know, physically, but like mentally, because I was going through a lot, mm-hmm. and people from the outside would see that as, oh, she doesn't care, she's not trying, or, you know, mm-hmm. she's, you know, like what they say with Barkley, like, he doesn't care, he's not trying, he's just, you know, like a fuck up. And it's, no, there's reasons behind why people act the way they do. Everyone's got a story that leads up to that. And for me, I was struggling because I had been through something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wasn't all there trying, you know, I was trying, mm-hmm. but there was a part of me that just couldn't emotionally keep up with being in the military at the time, because I, you know, lost a parent. Mm-hmm. So I loved Reg, because everything about him was like, oh, this is me. I am Reginald Barkley. Like, I relate to this man so much. And then in Voyager, yeah, when he, you know, makes that big old come around where he's kind of the hero of the series, that was really, like, super satisfying to see that kind of arc for him, where people stopped seeing him as, you know, just a screw-up, and they actually were like, oh, this guy's smart, he knows what he's talking about, we need to actually give him some kind of benefit of the doubt, you know, instead of just pushing him aside. And I am also extremely awkward sometimes. I know people don't always see that side of me because I try really hard not to show it. But yeah, anyone who meets me kind of the first time, I tend to be a little bit awkward. And I'm sometimes very awkward on video. I probably couldn't tell on my first live stream, but I was very uncomfortable in the first live stream that I did for Trek Central. So I really feel like everyone has some Barkley in them.
Which is actually a really good change in terms of topic. I wanted to ask you about how did you, and hope this is not a big secret or top secret information that I have to get the Tashi or you know, knocking in my door later on before, but how did you get involved with Trek Central, and how did you, you know, how did this whole podcasting came into life?
Yeah, so I actually followed Trek Central and a bunch of other Star Trek YouTube channels for a while. I think I started following Trek Central pretty much when they launched the channel. And then around Christmas time, I think, I saw them putting out a request for voiceover actors and writers. And even though I am a writer, I don't necessarily want to write. I write for science. Like, I have to write science literature, not published literature, but I'm an environmental science major, so mm-hmm. I do write a lot, and it's usually very, you know, academic style papers. So my vernacular for writing those two completely different styles of writing would probably make it that I'm not a great writer for, like, a Star Trek channel. But the voiceover I was much more comfortable with, because I've done acting for most of my life, mm-hmm. Since, I think, middle school. So for me, that was just easier. I didn't necessarily have to be in front of a camera. That was, at least when I first started, Jack was like, hey, you know, you don't have to be in front of the camera, although that's something that might happen in the future. We're looking for some voiceover acting. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And then they're like, hey, do you want to do live streams? I was like, sure, let's do that too. And so now I just do live streams. And I, once in a while, will do voiceovers now, but I pretty much just do live streams now.
I did want to ask, I did peek into the last one that you did with Get What's Can Easy, Henry. You were the only one mm-hmm. who was in the camera.
that happens sometimes.
I know, Nick was saying that technical difficulties can occur, but...
yeah. Kat's actually... He's military. He's being bounced around hotels right now because duty station changes are very difficult with the whole COVID-19 happening. So he does not have the internet power to run it from his end with camera, so... I had to run it on my end, and I had to have a thing for three people, but then I couldn't fit it in nice enough without it, like, looking really janky, and I was like, we're 20 minutes late already, screw it, we're just going live, so... but sometimes, you know, guests don't feel comfortable having mm-hmm. video or don't have access to a camera, and so that's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't mind if I'm just talking to nothing on screen, but...
No, it's all fun, and of course... it's good. I mean, I did see a few of them that you interviewed quite a few people, and you had some really good chats. You're the one who comes up with the topic ideas, or is it something coming from the head office?
it's usually me. I kind of base that off of whoever is the guest. Mm-hmm. So for someone like when I had Steve Shives on, we're both enormous Deep Space Nine fans. Like, he is the one if I were to think of someone who is a Star Trek YouTuber mm-hmm. that is a huge Deep Space Nine fan, the very first person that comes to my mind is Steve. Mm-hmm. So for that, I was like, okay, our topic's Deep Space Nine, no questions. EC Henry always puts out information about starships, mm-hmm. so, you know, for him, starships, it was a perfect topic. I'm trying to think of some of the other topics.
Deep Trekking.
I mean, you know, obviously... when a new season mm-hmm. is announced or a new show is announced, that's obviously going to be the topic. No, any other topic is scrapped if a new show is announced. So we usually have to move things around. Like, I think EC Henry was supposed to be 2 weeks ago, but then Lower Decks trailer got released. So then we had to move, who was it? Was it Certifiably In-Game, I think, was the one that I talked to? It was Marcus Bronzy from Trek Culture that mm-hmm. I talked to about Lower Decks. So we had to, you know, move guests around just to make it so it fit so we could talk about mm-hmm. whatever's relevant, you know, in Trek at the time. I'm sure we're going to probably have a topic this Sunday, if my assumptions are correct, about Season 3 of Discovery, because my assumption is that that's what's going to be announced at the San Diego Comic-Con panel, along with a few other things, because mm-hmm. they keep hinting all these things. So I'm sure whatever the topic is going to be Sunday is going to revolve around San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, it is a busy year of time, busy time of year, even though, you know, we have this whole global pandemic going on, but what happens in Star Trek, just in sitting in DS9 in a space dock, let's say, because pretty much we're staying in DS9 at the moment, that's what we're playing, and we're waiting for something to come through the wormhole as a sort of news through Twitter and internet, which is an amazing thing to have experience. Yeah. I mean, not roaming through the galaxy like before. So there's a lot of things that are happening. What is that one that you're most excited about?
There's a lot of mixed opinions about Lower Decks. However, I am so freaking excited for Lower Decks, it's not even funny. I'm scared to call myself a Rick and Morty fan because, like, so many of the fans have ruined it for other people who want to say they're a fan, just because there's a lot of, what's a really good way to explain this? There's... very, not toxic, but I don't even have a good word for it. Anyone who knows what I'm, like, knows the kind of fans I'm talking about can probably think of a better word, but basically they just... If you don't like Rick and Morty, these people will be like, oh, you just don't get the humor because you're not smart enough. And I'm like, okay, no, maybe they just don't like the humor. Those are the kind of fans that kind of make it where, like, you know, you can't be a Rick and Morty fan unless you're, like, super smart and, like, science and this and that. And I'm like, you can be a Rick and Morty fan, whatever you want to be. Like, if you like the show, you like the show. So it's one of those where it's like, when you say you're a Rick and Morty fan, sometimes the first thing people think is like, oh, so... You're one of those people. I'm like, no. I like the show. I'm not trying to be toxic. I just enjoy it. But yeah. The comedy behind that is, I really like the comedy behind Rick and Morty. And I think even though some people aren't necessarily sure how that's going to fit into Star Trek, I would disagree. And I would say that, you know, we have goofy episodes of Star Trek. This is nothing new. And so you can always find a way to put humor into Star Trek. I do think, obviously, Lower Decks is a comedy series. And knowing Mike McMahon, it's going to be slightly darker comedy here and there, which I think fits very well with Star Trek, personally. You have wars in the Star Trek universe. You have, you know, cataclysms that happen. You can have all those dark things happen and still have a humorous aspect to a show. And I think that's what Lower Decks is kind of going to go for. Right. I think it's going to be very similar to how Rick and Morty approaches humor. Is you might have episodes where, you know, you laugh a few times, but at the end of the episode, you're in tears. So I am very much looking forward to Lower Decks. I know that's not an opinion that everyone shares, and everyone is entitled to their own opinion. But I like animated TV. I like comedy. I like Mike McMahon. I like Rick and Morty, and I like Star Trek. So why would I not like all of those things in a nice, perfect package?
That's very true. And you know, that made an interesting point there when you said this that, you know, and I kind of like lost my way. Damn it!
I do that all the time.
That's so bad. I'm glad I'm not live. I don't think I would be able to do this in live though. But gosh, what was I? You said something about...
Mike McMahon, Rick and Morty, dark comedy where you cry at
dark
the end,
comedy,
but it's also
yes.
a funny show.
So it's like...
Okay.
So you did say a really good, interesting point in there with the, you know, that Star Trek had war, Star Trek has dark comedy. It's, I think a lot of people... I haven't watched the Robert Dex trailer. I've seen a few pictures and I see some silent, like 1-2 seconds videos that I was scrolling through Twitter. I try to avoid the trailers.
Yeah.
But probably by this time when this podcast is out, the first or second, no, probably the first episode will be out anyway. I don't know. Nevertheless, I think people, generally speaking, and I believe that we Trekkies sometimes we forget that the Star Trek universe is huge, and what we've seen through DS9 or Voyager. I mean, not necessarily with DS9 because DS9 covers quite a big area of the universe itself that we all love and endure, and Voyager obviously so far isolated. Enterprise original series are again their own entity, and then they are back in time, you know, things are a bit far away from each other, but with all the different shows they show an aspect of the universe that we are in, and everything is not everything is as glamorous as in you see in TNG, or as dark sometimes that you see in what's it called, in DS9, there's when you have Discovery, that it's, you know, things are not as beautiful, not as polished as they are in TNG, or you have, you're gonna have Strange New Worlds that's gonna be, probably show us a totally different point of view, and Rick and, not Rick and Morty, Lower Decks is gonna do the same thing, show us in a totally not really important ship with a not important crew, and I think that's absolutely fun. I mean, getting to know all of these aspects of the universe, it only enriches the experience, which I don't think people should have too much problem with it. I mean, just as human beings, just as in this planet, we have different countries and parts. Everything happens differently. I mean, just think about food. I mean,
yeah, I know. Oh, geez, who's? Oh man, is it Tell Trekkie, the one who, and Olivia, who have been going at each other on Twitter? You know what I'm, like, the Twitter wars? Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, man.
If I might have come across with them, but I'm not, like, super indulged with Twitter these days.
Like, he posts these pictures of food that just make me want to, like, die, because they're always these things that he purposely makes them look like... He put these weird beans and then just a slice of ham on top. Not cut up or anything, just a whole slice of ham. And it just looks... It was like spam ham. And I'm like, okay, this is not a meal. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, today, he freaking posted an actual meal, and I thought it was another joke meal. And I called... He was like, no, this is an actual meal. I was like, oh, shit. It was what is it? It's a British thing, and I'll never understand it because I don't like seafood. It's like jellied eels or something.
No, it's definitely not British.
What did he say?
That's probably Asian.
Yeah. It's London Grub.
Oh.
Jellied eels. Wow. Yeah, and I saw it and I was like, that looks disgusting. That looks absolutely horrid. And I thought it was a joke post. No, it's an actual freaking dish. And I was like, nope,
wow.
Not for me. So yeah, just between countries, there's so much variety, in everything, in culture, in food, and in how people act. So why can't that happen in Star Trek?
Exactly.
You know,
and
why can't you have a comedy? Why can't you have a dark show? Why can't you have one that's in between?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the beauty of Star Trek, that you can, as you said at the beginning, you can find your own story. You can find something that you can relate to, and that's really just a beautiful thing to have a franchise that can, you know, speak out to everyone, not just a specific mm-hmm. range of people. And, you know, you don't have to be knowledgeable to watch Star Trek. You don't have to be a doctor know everything. If you want to love one show, you can just love one show. Same way as if you love jelly eels, then, you know, that's...
I'll never forgive him for the Twitter posts that he's been putting out. He's causing so much havoc on Twitter right now.
I'm going to be dreaming with jelly eels and spam ham. Suddenly Neelix's hairpasta doesn't sound as bad, right?
I know, right? I mean, given what I'm saying on Twitter, I might actually want Neelix's cooking.
So there's a point in this podcast where we have a little game called Do Your Shat, the William Shatner Captain Kirk impression game. Mm-hmm. I want you to give your best William Shatner impression.
Oh, jeez. Well... The thing about William Shatner is, he does this thing that in acting is a bit taboo, where you take these long pauses between your words and kind of drop off a little bit, and I never truly understood why he did this, but hey, to each their own, I guess.
That's fantastic. Oh my.
Oh my.
That's the only thing I can do. Oh my. And then I'm sure it's not even close to the original. who would you like to be, or who think, if you could have the chance to swap places over for one day from the Star Trek universe, who would swap places over with?
If I was going to... Okay. If you've seen Deep Space Nine... If you haven't seen Deep Space
Nine,
I apologize for the heavy spoiler. I'm thinking for the viewers. If they haven't seen Deep Space Nine, cover your ears for a few seconds. But, if I would want to switch places with Jadzia before... You know, if they weren't going to kill her, I would want to switch places with Jadzia Dax. She's the character I always found myself relating to the most. Mm-hmm. Although, now that 7 of 9 has a bit more character development in Picard, I definitely relate to her more. Not that I'd want to switch places with her, because, you know, that's not... You know, she's been through a lot. I relate to her, not that I'd want to swap places with mm-hmm. her. But Jadzia Dax, outside of, you know, being terribly murdered in a horrible way that should not have happened, she is the character that I would have liked to, you know, switch places with. I really like her. I like her character. She's super smart. She's charming. She's beautiful. She's, I don't know. She's just, to me, she's like the perfect Star Trek character, at least the perfect female Star Trek mm-hmm. character. She's she's a badass. Kira too. Kira's an absolute badass too. Both of them are all, and I think that's why they're such good friends. They're both such bad bitches, and that's the kind of, that's what I like in Star Trek. I like when they put female characters in really powerful mm-hmm. positions. And I think that's one of the reasons that I was more drawn to Deep Space Nine as opposed to anything before that. Because, I mean, original series, you have Uhura, and you have Nurse Chapel, but that's it. I mean, they don't really do anything. And in Next Generation, you have Counselor Troi, but again,
you question why
she doesn't really do much, really, outside of, I sense they're lying. I'm like, really? I also sensed that they were lying, and I'm not an empath, so I don't know about that one. I like when they went into Deep Space Nine, and they put these characters that are female characters that either are absolute kick-ass, like, fucking defend my planet kick-ass, or they're freaking genius kick-ass. I mean, mm-hmm. Jadzia, before even getting joined as a symbiont, you know, she said, you know, I earned, what was it, like 3 degrees or something? Like 3 separate degrees in like astrophysics and physics and biology and all this other stuff before even joining with the symbiont. Yeah. So, you know, she's super intelligent and she's a badass. And everything about her just screams perfect character to me. And that's definitely who I would switch with, I do believe.
What do you think about the leading ladies, let's go with that, leading ladies in the new Star Trek mm-hmm. shows. We touched on Seven, that she has a bit of a more character development, but what do you think about like the roles in Discovery? Because, you know, that's the other Star Trek show that we had 2 seasons of so far.
I do get a little defensive about Discovery, especially when people are making YouTube videos about how, you know, Burnham's a Mary Sue, and I'm like, she's actually not. Like, if you look up what a Mary Sue is, she does not fit that category. Mm-hmm. A Mary Sue is someone who has all these abilities with no reason to have them, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, I'm trying to think of a good example. So, say I have never picked up a bow and arrow in my life, but yet, when I pick up a bow and arrow, my first shot, and every shot afterwards, is going to be a bullseye. You know, I'm just born perfect marksman. Like, that's not what happens in real life. That would be considered a Mary Sue situation. Mm-hmm. With Burnham, I don't see that at all. She went to a freaking prestigious Vulcan Science Academy. She knows so much. She was raised by a Vulcan diplomat. She's got very important family members. She's not done. Everything she's done is not perfect. You know, she's not a perfect character. It doesn't, you know, she doesn't qualify as a Mary Sue in just about every way, but people love to talk about how she's, you know, an unbelievable character. To me, I don't see that. I see her as a character who has fucked up a lot. I hope we can cuss one here. who's messed up a lot mm-hmm. You know, she deals with that in her own way, either by taking the knowledge that she gained through years of studying at the Science Academy or from her personal mm-hmm. experience in life. And I like Burnham. I think Burnham's an amazing character, and I do get a little defensive when people call her, like, a lot of the hate towards Discovery, if you trace it back, it almost always comes back to Burnham. It's not fair to that character, because in my opinion, she's, you know, a great character. Whether people, you know, don't see it that way, that's, you know, that's your opinion. But from an outsider's perspective, having not, because I went into Deep Space Nine or Deep Space to Discovery not watching any of the people's opinions going into it. It wasn't until after I watched it that I went back and saw people's opinions, because I didn't want to taint my own view of it. And after going and watching it on my own and seeing these people's opinions, I don't know. I can't see where they're getting their information from. And I really like having a Star Trek show where, a badass female is in the leading role. Even if she's not the captain, she's not like the superior. It's not like with Janeway, where she's the superior officer. And so, you know, that by default, she's going to be, you know, the most powerful woman on the show. Burnham has been through a lot. She's not top of the chain of command. She's fought her way to get to where she is, and I'm really excited for season 3, because in my opinion, I see it as, now that they're outside of the time that we know in Star Trek, we're going to really get to see these characters at more, like, flourish more. and really come into their character as a whole. I think we're probably going to see more about Burnham in season three that we, you know, wouldn't have known or expected from previous seasons. Either I'm assuming we're going to run into maybe some family story, maybe some more background as to, you know, why she is the way she is. But all in all, I love the character. I love what they did with her. I love when Star Trek has a leading female actress. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. That's another reason I'm so excited for Strange New Worlds, is they've got number one coming back. And I just love that character so much. I'm extremely excited for all of these shows that are coming out and all the seasons that are coming out. It's a really good time to be a Star Trek fan.
That's very true. It's like almost like living in a second golden age of Star Trek, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's definitely interesting, because for me, I never really faved Discovery, but not because of, you know, I never really paid attention to all of these, you know, silly shenanigans that have been going on for Hate Side. I mean, if I didn't like the episode, didn't like the show that much, it's because of the writing. The story didn't come through to me, but the characters and the actresses and the actors, they did a fantastic job portraying their character, and there was never a question in me either. I can definitely see that, like, in a point of myself that obviously I didn't give a crap about, and excuse my Frenchie here as well, but I didn't really give a damn about how, you know, how these roles were, like, important. I mean, I'm sure it was important, and I'm aware that it's important for people, and just as Barclay being there was important to me, Burnham being important to be in the show, and that's totally fine, and it's beautiful. And I have never had an issue with that. But having people being dissing about this and even with Lower Decks and just watching a trailer, like, which, again, I said, as I mentioned a few times, I had never watched. I'm just going to wait for the real deal. It's immature to judge something by, you know... Watch it one or two times, try to understand what's going on there. And it's not necessarily the character, it might be the writing, or it might be just you didn't resonate with you in that level. And that's,
exactly.
But that's true with every Star Trek.
I mean, and I'm not going to say Discovery is perfect. It's definitely not my favorite Star Trek. It's a good Star Trek, it's just not, you know, it's not in my top three personally. It doesn't mean I don't like it.
Exactly.
I really, really, really like it. But, you know, I'll say, you know, season one, in my opinion, was weaker. Season two was great. I loved season two. I liked season one when they went to the Mirror Universe. But before that, I was very like, I mean, it's a good show, but I didn't get drawn in until the Mirror Universe. And then after that, I was like, okay, I really like this show now. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it breaks my top three, but that is not a disservice to the show. I just, I am extremely, like... in love with select Star Treks. So, you know, Deep Space Nine is always going to be my favorite. I am surprisingly into Enterprise. I know a lot of people don't like Enterprise, but it is one of my favorites. I would say it's probably number three. Mm-hmm. And I want to put probably Next Generation in number two. But I know a lot of people don't like Enterprise, but I really like it. It's my guilty pleasure Star Trek.
It is good. I mean, I used to joke with the fact that if I have to rank my Star Trek shows, second would be Discovery and Discovery and probably the Calvin movies, and the first everything else that came before, in the same level.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Discovery is probably my fourth. I know, and here's the thing: when I say I rank my Star Trek shows, when I tell people like what one's at the bottom of my list, that doesn't mean it's a bad Star Trek. It means that of all the Star Treks, it just is so ever so slightly. Like, I love all Star Trek, but in my personal opinion, Voyager is probably I say least favorite, but I don't want to say that because I love Voyager. Like, I love that show. But if it was like gun to my head, I had to rank them, Voyager would probably be pretty low, and I don't know why. I really don't. I think one of my reasons is I'm not going to say I don't like the holodeck stuff, because I do like the holodeck stuff. Some of the best episodes were on the holodeck, like Bride of Chaotica. Yeah, like some of the best ones are on the are in the holodeck. But you know, then you've got, you know, Fairy Folk and stuff like that. But you can say the same thing about Next Generation, that, you know, filler episodes. But You know, the Vidian storyline, I loved that. Anytime the Vidian showed up, I loved it. I'm not a fan of Neelix. That's probably another reason that it puts me at a... I just don't like that character one bit. I have tried to watch the show so many times. I've probably seen Voyager 3 or 4 times. Every single time I say, I'm going to give Neelix another chance. I'm going to give him another chance. Every single time I'm like, I cannot stand this character. I don't know what it is about him. I mean, in the first part of it is because he was so possessive over Kes. But after that, when he kind of loosened up and was like, oh yeah, you know, Kes isn't here. It's just Neelix as a character. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't connect with that character. And I think that might be where it brings it down. Because I like pretty much everyone else. Paris is great. Ensign Kim, we love him. Permanent Ensign. B'Elanna is a great character, but I really think Neelix just brought it down for me. I don't know why I didn't like him. I really wanted to.
I sense that's the hair pasta, for sure.
rip Tuvix, because I wouldn't have killed him.
that's a whole day to talk about Tuvix.
It's on Twitter all over the place right now. Like it is the biggest argument on Twitter. Yeah. And I'm like, this argument will never die. It is the permanent Star Trek argument, to kill or not to kill Tuvix. That's the question.
There are like some evergreen debates that probably never gonna die. Like I think recently the cage itself became a bit of a talking point on Twitter as well. I mean, mm-hmm. at least at the time of the recording this, that is it canon or not, or is the menagerie is canon, or the parts of menagerie mm-hmm. are the canon, and then whatever happened aside that's not canon, even though the cage started it all. If there's no cage, there's probably no Star Trek. So.
Yeah, and I'm definitely in the camp that the cage is canon. Not only did they bring it back in Discovery and really cement that it was canon, but, I mean, anyone who says Spock doesn't, you know, has no emotion or doesn't smile, you've obviously never seen the original series.
How many times?
He smiles for sure once, but he definitely has very emotive faces here and there. And, I mean, in Discovery, when it was in the short trek, he smiled and everyone lost their fucking mind. And I was just like, you know, this is, like, I think the third time now he's smiled. Y'all act like this is the first time.
I mean, he's half human.
I'm like, yeah, he's half human, guys. Like, chill out. He's still, he's only half Vulcan. He is trying his damnedest.
That's true. So, okay, so we have touched a lot on everything. The podcast has went a bit of a different direction than I originally thought, but that's the beauty of it. I actually, sometimes I do love when it goes to a different direction and we enjoy it a bit more than how I imagined in my head, which is not as polished sometimes. So, after all of this shenanigans and everything that you know about Star Trek, when you, it's like a random day, and I ask this from everyone, but it's a random day, and you're doing your, I don't know, you're shopping, and you have no idea about, you don't think about Star Trek, but someone says or shouts at from the very back of the store saying Star Trek, what is the first thing that comes to your mind?
That's a good question. What would be the first thing that came to my mind? The first thing that would come to my mind, honestly, if it was in my town, would be I probably know that person because I'm part of a Star Trek fan club here. And so my first thought would be, I wonder if that's our captain or, like, you know, or someone like that. Because we do have a pretty good chapter here, and we do have a lot of Star Trek fans here in Pensacola. I mean, you wouldn't think we would, but we do. Everyone loves Star Trek. It's one of those things where I feel like a lot of people say they don't, and they really do. But I don't know. I think the first thing would be, do I know that person? And if I don't know that person, I would say I'd start a conversation, but I'm also very socially awkward sometimes. So even though I say I'd probably say something about Star Trek, I'd also probably be like, yeah, Star Trek, like under my breath, but not like say anything to them. But yeah, no, the first thing would definitely probably be like, I think I probably know them.
It is definitely a good thing that when you know that someone says like, oh yes, I've seen the episode, or oh, that's the one with Captain mm-hmm. Kirk, you instantly like instant friends, like, yeah, you know, like, let's talk.
Wait, Kirk, what?
Yeah, really, you know that? It's like, oh, you've shown this one and that one, and Oh yeah, that's like you know, shields are down already.
I absolutely love when I run into someone who I didn't know they watched Star Trek, and then they'll mention it, and I'm like, "Wait, you watched Star Trek?" And it's like game over. We're friends. Like I don't have to know anything else. We're great friends now.
Oh gosh, I remember when we were living in a small village, and our neighbor we became acquainted quite well at the end. But it's funny. I never knew, and I was younger. I was like 10 or 11. No, actually, I was about 15, 16, and I remember, and he was an older gentleman, and I usually, you know, it wasn't a formal relation in terms of addressing each other, I mean, at least from myself, and he was like, oh yeah, I watched Voyager last day, it was really good, the episode I watched, and I instantly like, you like Voyager? You like Star Trek? And we ended up, a couple of weeks later, we ended up watching, I think, Nemesis together. it was nice. Crazy. And then, like, we're living next to each other, like, for, like, I don't know how many years now, and then just telling me that you know Star Trek? It's funny.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is getting my own friends into Star Trek who have never seen it. And I'm so successful in it. My best friend, who a lot of times you guys, like anyone who follows my stuff, I say I have a brother. He's not my blood brother. He's like basically my adopted brother. But I'll say like my brother. He's really my best friend. I got him into Star Trek, and it was so satisfying to watch him like really start getting into Star Trek. I introduced him to Discovery. We watched all of Discovery because I was like, okay, knowing my brother, that's an episode that's a series he's gonna really get behind. Then he went back and watched Next Generation, really liked it. Then we watched Picard every night, like every week when it came out, he'd come over at like, I think it comes out like 2-something our time, so he'd come over at like 12 or 1 a.m. and we'd just be like fucking dead tired trying to watch this episode, like yeah, it's a great like trying so hard to stay awake, but and then, man, what is he getting into now? I think he's still watching Next Generation. Mm-hmm. I started introducing him to Enterprise, and I hate that he likes the song, because I hate the freaking intro song so much, and he makes me fucking watch it every time. He won't let me skip it. He's like, I'll like go to skip it. He's like, no. Like, please let me skip this episode. No, if you skip the intro for this one, we have to watch the next three. And I'm like, I hate it here. So, but it's just really nice to get, you know, to see my friends start falling in love with it, because now his roommate, who's a really good friend of mine, is also getting into Star Trek, and he's now watched all of Next Generation. He's watching Enterprise. I don't know if they've seen, I think he's seen a few episodes of the original series, and he hasn't seen Discovery, but he has seen all of Picard. But it's just so funny, because before Picard aired, like, none of them really watched Star Trek. But when Picard was announced, I was just, you know, binging all my Star Trek all over again, and I was like, hey, you guys should come over and watch some too. And lo and behold, they fell in love with it.
That's awesome. So, towards the end of the show, there's the eternal question that basically this podcast is about, and as many of my listeners know, Warm Blanket is basically what I think of Star Trek, so that's how I encompass the idea of Star Trek and how it makes me feel. It's a warm blanket that, you know, I can wrap myself around with, and it fills me with enjoyment and warmth when I need it the most. What is your warm blanket when it comes to Star Trek?
It's probably going to be so cliche when I say this, but my warm blanket for Star Trek is the hope for a better future. I mean, obviously not all of Star Trek is the most ideal future. It changes. Every series it's the ideal future for that generation, you know? Yeah. Next Generation or the original series, just having a woman in the military, like, basically, was mind-boggling, you know? And, you know, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and even in Next Generation, they kind of hit on, not so successfully, but they try their dangdest to, like, hit on LGBTQ issues. It really comes through, obviously, in Discovery, but, you know, the idea that no matter who you are, as long as you're not an evil person, obviously, like, no matter, as long as you're not hurting others, the idea that everyone can just get along and that people can live a happy, fulfilled life is my warm blanket. In fact, in the next Deep Space Nine episodes, the Bell Riot ones, what is it called? I forget the
past
episodes,
tense.
But it's the ones with the Bell
past
Riots.
Tense.
Past tense, yes. Past tense part one and two. In the first part, I think, when they're going through that processing facility, you know, Bashir's like, you know, a lot of these people aren't well. Like, they need, you know, they could live a fulfilled life if they were on the right medication. You know, even by those standards, they could be treated. But they were ignored. And, you know, in the future of Star Trek, you know, everyone has equal chance to live a fulfilled life. Everyone has everyone's on equal footing. And that's what I would hope we can work towards as a planet. And it's what I dream to happen. And to me, that's the warm blanket for me for Star Trek, is watching a show where I can just say, wow, imagine if it was like that in real life. You know, imagine a future where this was the case. Imagine a future where everyone was equal and no one, you know, was discriminated against for race, for ethnicity, for sexual orientation, for any of that. So, you know, or, you know, even financially, because, you know, they say, you know,
there's no money.
they say there's no money, but I mean, you've got Federation, you've got Federation credits, you've got Latinum, but your needs can be met. Like, the needs are met, no one's suffering. And that's my warm blanket in Star Trek, is the idea that possibly, maybe one day in the future, that could be a reality.
Which is, yes, definitely something that we can really hope for.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how the world goes by and you know, the ideas are still, even after 50 plus years, still so relevant. And I think, probably not in my lifetime, but maybe my great-grandchildren's, they will probably get something very close to that, what we see today in the TV, just as an idea. That it would be really nice to actually live up to the day when we can say that, hey, yes, we made it. This is the beginning of, just as Picard said in First Contact, that like, I envy you because you can take those steps towards me. And just another beautiful... this was amazing. I thank you very much for your time and that you shared with me and then with my audience, obviously. It was great to get to know you more and, you know, just to talk about Star Trek. And yeah, it was a bit teary as you mentioned at the beginning.
Sorry.
It's all good. It's all good. I had to learn coping with those as well. I mean, obviously not every. Person is, no one has the same story.
Exactly.
To go with that, and I'm honestly, I'm glad that you shared your story. And before we sign off, where people can connect you with, and how they can find you if they want to connect with you, and if where they can support your work, or how they can support you.
Yeah. So the easiest place to find me is either on Twitter or Instagram. Instagram, it's the cosplay girl with underscores in between the words. On Twitter, it's the cosplay girl, but with only one underscore after all of the words pushed together, because, you know, without the underscore it was taken, unfortunately. But if you type in the cosplay girl on social media, like on Instagram or Twitter, I'm probably going to be the first result. So I'm pretty easy to find. It's I usually have Brie in there somewhere just so people know that it's me. But that's really the only social media I do. I have a Patreon, but like that can be found through other stuff. It's all for cosplay and whatnot. I just try and do like a different photo shoot every month for a different cosplay as best I can. But obviously COVID is...
kind of puts hold on everything.
Instagram and Twitter are the big two.
Okay, all right.
Super easy to find.
That's awesome. All right, well, again, thank you very much for spending this time with me and with my audience. Thank you very much for accepting the invitation and then being here and enriching the Warm Blanket Conversations podcast. And for my audience as well, thank you very much for listening to another episode of the Warm Blanket podcast. And until next time, live long and prosper. And that was it for this episode. I really hope that you enjoyed it, and rest assured, new episodes will be coming out every week where we sit down with a Trekkie to find out what makes us feel good about Star Trek and to discover what is our warm blanket made of. If you really enjoy listening to this podcast, please leave a review on your favorite podcasting app. It would really mean a lot to me. To find out more about this audio adventure, please visit trekkerprize.com/podcast, where you can also listen to the previous episodes. Thank you again for listening to yet another episode of the Warm Blanket Podcast, and I'll see you in the next episode. Live long and prosper.